Hello, and welcome to the Feathers and Flowers podcast.
Welcome to our everyday life on the homestead. Chickens, goats, gardening, recipes, sustainable living, and more.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 7 of the Feathers and Flowers podcast. We have had an eventful week of goat kidding this week, and we will love to fill you guys in on next week's episode. But for this week, here are some of our favorite seasonal recipes as spring is just around the corner. We're talking about homesteading starting in the kitchen. So, you know, the kitchen is one of my favorite places because it's where food comes from. And I like to eat. You like to fix things to eat. So one thing that I love about homesteading is that you take care of your garden and everything, and you get fulfillment out of your garden in the summertime and in the spring starting the seeds, and a little bit in the fall, depending on how mild the fall weather comes in. But then your garden takes care of you throughout the wintertime.
Yes. So yeah, that's one of the things we're talking about today is how our garden is feeding us through the wintertime. And while it doesn't feed us completely, obviously, like as much as I would love for it to, we're just not at a space right now where we could grow that much food. We kind of have to focus on a couple things to put up through the winter and then just enjoy the rest fresh in the summer. But it does help out a lot with our grocery bill in the wintertime. And we have a lot of, I guess, sides or partial. It helps partial through partial dishes. Like, it doesn't complete a full dish, but, like, it definitely helps out a lot.
Yeah, we pretty much, in the wintertime, like, when we're not in our growing season, we pretty much go by like our main course at the grocery store, and occasionally, depending on what kind of sides we want, like we haven't grown asparagus yet. So like if we want like asparagus or broccoli or something, that's typically something we buy from the store in the wintertime. But, you know, anything else, I mean, green beans, potatoes, you know, whatever else that we're able to put up throughout the winter, that's kind of like we grew that corn, you know, stuff like that. So we have those sides that we have preserved for us to have through the wintertime.
So some of our favorite, we're not really favorite, but some of the things that we preserved this past gardening season and that we are eating on throughout this winter is pasta sauce, which we use to make pizzas, pizza sauce. We use it to make, obviously, like pasta, like spaghetti, lasagna, chicken parmesan, pretty much anything that you can think of that uses pasta sauce.
You also put up salsa.
Yes, we did do salsa. I made crock pot chicken with the salsa the other day, and that was really good.
You did the salsa verde too. That was a new one that you did this past year.
Yeah.
Put up some salsa verde.
Not only do I have that, but I also have the things in the freezer to make salsa verde again. Like, I have tomatillos, poblano pepper, jalapeno pepper. I think I used chicken broth to make that. I also have a bunch of that frozen too from where I made a homemade chicken stock.
That's right. You also have, you have a bunch of the, talking about apples, we always go to the apple orchard, the local apple orchard to us, and we always do the, like, pick your own apples. So we go and pick like our favorite apples, which is usually the Pink Ladies is when we go, because I love some fresh Pink Lady apples. And then we always get like a couple baskets of apples that they have already picked for you, to like preserve and, you know, make apple butters and apple sauces. And then one thing that you've tried new this year is you actually try to make your own vinegar.
Yes. Apple cider vinegar.
So
yes, I need to try that again with the apple peels I have in the freezer because I forgot about it. So we talked about pasta sauce, and then we were talking about apple butter and sauce, apple sauce.
And then we have the we always grow, like, I think it's kind of been a routine that I've talked about on the podcast is like squash and zucchinis and stuff, but going along that, we've done butternut squash and spaghetti squash.
Yes.
And those actually preserve kind of like root cellar style in our pantry for a good bit.
Yes, especially if you pick them slightly underripe, like if you don't let them fully ripen on the vine.
And keep the stems on.
Like I just fixed our last two butternut squash probably 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, something like that.
And obviously that's a very long time and they were still fine.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're hard skinned so they don't, I guess, rot, especially if you don't drop them.
Yeah, if you don't bruise them and stuff. And then
if you keep them in a cool place.
Cool place with
low humidity.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of high humidity, but it also has to be, like, it can't be too low because it'll, like, shrivel up and dry out like a raisin, too. But one thing that we always try to make sure is, like, we'll inspect them as we pick them and make sure that, like, when you cut them off of the vine, that they still have, like, a decent stem on them because that seems to help preserve them longer. And then we inspect them and kind of, like, okay, this one's probably going to go first. It's got a few, like, scratches and mars on it, or, like, oh, it looks like a bug might have got into it a little bit. So we'll, like, kind of organize them, like, use first. This one's going to last.
Yeah. And, of course, you can like, cut them up and
freeze them,
too, which we do also. But some I like to save. And, like, the spaghetti squash, we didn't get as many this year as we did last year, so we didn't have those last as long. But, like, last winter, I cooked a spaghetti squash, like, pretty late in the winter,
exactly,
I feel like.
Exactly, my birthday.
Yeah.
So, that was, like, February, end of February, beginning of March.
Yeah, so, we never have those last all winter, and obviously there's not a ton of them, so, but we do enjoy them periodically throughout the early winter, usually.
Yeah. I always like a good butternut. Like, I really like it when you make the butternut squash. Like, the pasta's good, and I like it, but the butternut squash soup that you make is really good. It's just got that, like, wintery feel mm-hmm. to it. It's always super good.
I need to make that again.
Yeah.
But also, another favorite for the spaghetti squash is the chicken Alfredo spaghetti squash.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something, like, I'm a pasta lover. Like, I do love pasta. Don't get me wrong. Like, when we go to Olive Garden, I'm about to hammer down on some pasta. But you can't eat a lot of pasta before you're feeling like you need to be rolled out of somewhere, wherever you're at, in a wheelbarrow, because you can't hardly move. Spaghetti squash, you can eat as much of that stuff as you want, and it's so light, and it's not as heavy as pasta.
Yeah, I think I looked it up one time, and, like, an entire spaghetti squash is only, like 60 calories or something like that. Mm. So, I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe it's like half the spaghetti squash. But either way, that's a lot.
Whenever you make spaghetti with the spaghetti squash, or whenever you make the chicken Alfredo with the spaghetti squash, I like it because you can add a lot more of the protein to it from, like, the chicken or, like, the meat from the spaghetti. And that, like, the pasta portion of it is just so much lighter. And I feel like the spaghetti squash kind of, like, absorbs, like, the flavor of, like, the sauce and the chicken and everything. It just makes it, like, a more homogeneous meal. I don't know. It just tastes really good. I like food.
Yeah. It definitely takes on the flavor of kind of whatever sauce you put on it. And then another thing we put up this year, I made a ton of basil pesto from our basil in the garden. I would just pick it and bring it straight in and wash it, and then I would put it in my little food processor blender thing with some nuts, whatever I had on hand. Usually it was almonds or cashews.
Yeah, you can't do pecans because I'm allergic.
Yeah, can't do pecans or walnuts. But and then with some fresh Parmesan cheese, a little olive oil, and salt and pepper. I think that was it. Oh, yeah, garlic. Garlic.
Lovely garlic.
And, yeah, blended that up until it was smooth and creamy, pretty much, and then put it in my silicone ice cube trays and put it in the freezer and let them freeze. And once they're frozen, I popped them out and put them in a freezer bag. And so that way, whenever I want to cook with them, I can just take one or two or however many I need. They're about, I guess, probably a tablespoon or two tablespoons, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Per cube. So I can just pop them out and put them in my pan, or, you know, pop them in a pot or something to melt down. We also use those as pizza sauce. Pesto pizza sauce when I make my homemade sourdough pizza crust.
Yep.
Those are good.
The old Blaze pizza special with the green stripe. Mm. Some good stuff whenever we make it homemade. And I put that flat top on the old pit boss outside. Good old pizza, sourdough pizza dough. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
And then another favorite, which I feel like quiche is more like, it's like a full almost.
Oh, it's very full.
No, I mean like it can be pretty much fully made here. Like if I make it with sourdough crust that I make, and then obviously our chicken, or the eggs from the chickens, and then spinach from the garden, and then pretty much the only thing that goes in it that's not from here is the cheese, because like,
well, we don't have a way to make cheese yet.
We're getting there,
right?
Hopefully soon. The cheese, and then sometimes the meat, if I do ham, which I mean obviously that's a goal for one day, is to have our own pork. But well, for now,
we eat a lot of venison, so
I was about to say, like, the last time I made it, I used venison sausage from a deer my parents killed. So the my dad, technically. No, I don't know why I said my mom. My mom gave it to me, but my dad is the one that killed it.
Yeah.
But because any of the one you killed, we didn't get any sausage, sadly.
No.
We just do
not this year.
Ground and
next year, though.
Ground and tenderloin. So
Yeah, pretty much quiche, I think, is one of them things that we pretty much fully eat, like, from here, especially when we use venison in the quiche. Pretty much the only thing in the whole quiche that's not from here is the cheese.
Yeah.
So in a couple of months, once we're starting to get, like, milk and everything, then it should be, like, a fully on-the-farm meal.
Yeah. Yeah, this past summer, we did a fully on-the-farm meal. We took it to Mama's and Daddy's.
Yep.
Because I cooked a roast all day in the crock pot. It was from their beef from their farm. And then, I don't remember all the sides. We cooked the potatoes and carrots, and they're from our garden.
Yep.
And then we had a squash,
zucchini. Broccolini.
Huh?
Wasn't the broccolini in that too?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, it was roast with potatoes and carrots and onions from our garden. The roast was from there. Was from their beef, from their farm.
Yep, and then all the potatoes
and then all and the potatoes, carrots, and onions was from here, and the herbs I put in it as well. And then the we had a squash casserole on the side that was from squash and zucchini from the garden. And then we had homemade biscuits, and I want to say green beans maybe from the garden.
That sounds right.
It was, I'll put it this way, everything in it was from the garden or from, like, the meat was raised there on the farm. And then, or the bread was homemade there. So, like, it was like a full farm to table meal. And it made us so happy, and it tasted so good. We were so satisfied.
I'm sure it probably tasted good, because there's not a whole lot that we eat either at our house or your parents' house that's not good.
Right.
But I think the fact that we knew what every part of that meal came from made it taste like that much better.
Yes, like that was a goal for the last couple of years, and like, even though it was only one meal, it was so worth it.
I thought it was delicious. But another one that we like, that we do a whole lot, especially in the summertime more so, is like, we love stuffed peppers. Like, I think we eat a lot of stuffed peppers throughout the summertime, but then you can actually freeze the peppers, so that way you can have stuffed peppers in the wintertime too.
Yes, in the summertime, I make a lot of, like, fresh jalapeno poppers, as we're getting fresh jalapenos out of the garden. And there's another kind of pepper I grew this year that I don't remember the name of it, but I really liked it as a jalapeno popper. Well, it wasn't a jalapeno, but a pepper popper.
Yeah, a pepper popper.
But I don't like to make them like the deep fried, like breaded kind, because I don't like a lot of grease and breading. But basically, we just cut the peppers in half and get the seeds out. And then I mix up like a cream cheese, shredded cheese, whatever I have on hand, and some bacon bits, maybe some chives or onion or something.
Yeah, just some fresh herbs from the garden.
Usually. Yeah, and then mix that all up together, and then just put it inside the halved peppers, and then top it with a little more cheese and bake them till they're golden and bubbly, basically. Yeah. And then eat them just like that, and they're so good.
We never have leftovers, that's for sure.
Mm-mm.
We eat them all up.
Yep, and I also like to go ahead and cut peppers in half like that, and stick them in the freezer, so that way if I want to make them throughout the winter, I can just pull them out and mix up my cheese and bake them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of bouncing off of when you were talking about, like, the whole meal that we had fresh from, like, farm to table is, like, we do a lot of potatoes and green beans and even garlic this year throughout the winter, because it's just something that we've been able to preserve, because we got a lot of potatoes. I think we just ran out of potatoes, actually.
Yes, we did. So, yeah, I've made mashed potatoes to go along with, like, chicken or something a lot.
Potato soup.
I made potato soup with them. Or just, like, boiled potatoes or, you know, with onions. And then green beans. We canned a lot of green beans last summer. And we've been eating those a lot with, like, the mashed potatoes and chicken or something. They just go as a side. It's just one less thing we have to buy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our garlic. We haven't had to buy our own garlic in a while.
No. The last garlic that we bought, it was at the beginning of the gardening season last year when our local produce stand opened.
Yes.
You bought some there.
It was a huge clove. Yeah, it was like the elephant clove.
Yeah, it was a huge, big old white clove. And we had a couple of, like, little cloves that were already starting to sprout on it. So I was like, let's just go ahead and plant these out. Who knows what's going to happen. So I think we planted, what, 6?
I think.
Something like that.
It was like 12.
It was a lot. But not compared to what we're planting this year. But it was a lot from that clove. And we still had, like, half the clove or more left that we used. As soon as we were done using that, we pretty much started harvesting the biggest garlic cloves that was outside. And they've carried us through almost the whole winter so far, and we still have more in the fridge. So we should be fully set, because now we already have garlic in the ground now that we'll hopefully be able to harvest about the time that we run out.
Yes.
But garlic kind of is the last thing that rounds us off as far as, like, talking about what we preserved this year. I mean, we preserved a lot of green beans, but that's just been something that I think been doing for a couple of years now is green beans.
We also preserved a lot of... like, it's not really like a food necessarily, but it goes like on bread, like jams and jellies and stuff.
Jellies, apple butters, applesauce, stuff like that.
Cowboy candy.
Mm-hmm. You did
some banana peppers.
You did that chow chow kind of stuff this year.
Yes, relish. That stuff was good. Is good. I have one left, I think.
Yeah. And then you did an experiment, with they're called violets. They're just like little flowers. They're in everybody's yard. Like, you see them all the time.
Wild violets, yes.
Yeah, as soon as the springtime comes up, those little purple flowers, it's all over people's yards.
Ton of them.
You actually made jelly out of that.
Yes, that was so cool, because I didn't have to put a drop of, like, any kind of coloring in it. It was naturally...
so pink.
Like, it started out blue, bluish purple.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I added... I can't remember, the lemon juice, I think, it turned it the bright pink color.
Right.
And that's what color it stayed after I'd processed it and everything.
The wild violets, once you, like, started boiling them or whatever, they're actually the pH indicator style plant. I can't remember what that's called, but, like, purple cabbage is the same way. So when you put the lemon in there, it was showing you that it was acidic or whatever.
Yeah.
But
it was pretty cool.
It was really cool. And then you actually did dandelion jelly too.
Yep.
Which... dandelion jelly, like, the easiest way that I could describe what it tasted like, it was like if you jellied honey.
Yes. Yes. And I did all this, like, I'm all for, like, making sure the bees have plenty of flowers. Like, I did not pull up all the flowers out of the yard. Like,
we have so many violets and so many dandelions in the yard.
Yeah, I didn't touch half of them. And plus, we have, like, plenty of other flowers growing at the time.
I'm gonna say,
thrift, daffodils. Crocuses. We have some crocuses growing.
I mean, what you pulled up to make the jellies from is you plant double the amount what you pulled up.
Oh yeah.
So,
but anyways, I just wanted to say that, just because I wanted to make sure that people knew that I wasn't
killing the
bees.
Save the bees.
Yes. So, yeah. So, that's some of the things that we preserved this year.
I guess let's kind of talk about... So, we've been talking about food. I think this is kind of what this podcast is going to turn into, is like food, which I like food.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, it is in the kitchen. Food comes from the kitchen. So, I guess let's kind of talk about like... Let's break it down into each season and like what we kind of cook throughout the season. So we're in winter now. We've been eating a lot of like pastas, which like I said, I like pastas, but it's been like true pastas, not spaghetti pasta and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or spaghetti squash pasta. And then we eat like one of my favorite things, and this is kind of skipping ahead a little bit, but like one of my favorite things that you make is the sourdough grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Mm-hmm. Like, tomato soup that we canned from the garden with some fresh herbs in there, or not really fresh, they're dried, but some dried basil and oregano from the garden,
a little bit
of cream.
That stuff is delicious.
And then sourdough grilled cheese. Can't beat that really anyways, yeah. But...
We eat a lot of heavier meals in the wintertime.
Like I guess it's only natural because it's cold.
Yeah, but like we eat a ton of like savory, like bread heavy or pasta heavy stuff like that, yeah, throughout the wintertime.
Chili, cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of like soups and roasts and stuff like that.
Yeah. Potatoes.
Yeah.
Meat and taters.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then springtime, which we're so close to springtime.
Yes, I can taste it.
Yeah, I can taste it. I'm starting to see like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, but we eat a lot of like fresh salads, especially as our lettuce and spinach starts getting productive and we start harvesting from that. We eat a lot of fresh salads from the garden.
A lot of fresh salads from the garden. I would say our hardest thing last year wasn't the fact that the lettuce wasn't growing fast enough. It was that we couldn't, like, I bought you that salad spinner this year for Christmas. Last year, we didn't really have a way to, like, spin the salad off enough to, like, let it dry out. So we had our whole table with paper towels on it and, like, towels to dry the lettuce off, like, air dry it.
Yes.
So that way we could put it in bags and put it in the fridge so it didn't, like, get all slimy and stuff.
Yes, like, we were trying to, like, let it dry completely after rinsing it.
So I think this year, now that you've got that salad spinner that I got you, I think we'll be able to have more salads this year than we did last year.
Yes.
Because we'll be able to kind of like spin it off and it should be drier to be able to put in the bags and everything.
But yeah, and then also the chickens are starting back up laying in early spring. So we're getting a ton of eggs. Usually we're drowning in eggs.
It's not even spring yet and we're getting probably like 7 to 10 eggs a day.
Right now, we got 14 the other day. So, yeah. So, we're eating a lot of different things with eggs. Eggs on our salads. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, like scrambled eggs, omelets, quiche. Yep. Especially if we're getting fresh spinach in.
Oh,
fresh eggs, fresh spinach makes good quiche.
Yep. And then a good, like, just a good snack to have is, like, we got that little thing that boils eggs. I don't know what it's called.
Some people thought it was like a little miniature incubator the first time I ever posted about it.
That's what it looks like, but I don't know. It perfectly boils the eggs.
And it's fast.
Yeah, it's super fast. It perfectly boils the eggs. You can do like a soft boil or like a medium boiled egg or a hard boiled egg. And we'll boil, like we'll fill that thing up, do the hard boiled eggs or whatever. Soft boiled eggs is what we normally do, somewhere in the like medium rare range. And then we'll just put them bad boys in the fridge. And if we need a snack, you can crack them suckers open and eat them. Pretty good little protein-rich snack.
Yep. And then also, after the spring comes the summer, of course. And usually in the summertime, we eat a lot lighter.
It's a lot of, like, fruits and veggies and
yes, we're eating stuff. Well, we're pretty much throughout the whole summer, we grill our meat. And then we eat the rest of our sides from the garden, whether that be salad, it's like a side salad, whether that be squash or zucchini casserole or just,
beans.
Yeah, some fresh green beans, fresh peas.
Fried okra, sliced tomatoes.
Yeah, or tomato sandwich. I love a good old tomato sandwich.
You can't forget the big old slab of mayonnaise on there.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be My favorite way to eat a tomato sandwich is like, not really Texas toast, but like a good, like thick slice of bread.
Sourdough bread.
Yeah. This year is going to be sourdough bread. Last year it was just like the white bread.
Well, I will say I cook a lot more sourdough bread in the wintertime than I do in the summertime.
Well,
because it's so hot in the kitchen. So I don't like to turn on the oven because you have to cook sourdough bread at like 450 degrees and that will make your kitchen hot.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I do. I mean, I do still cook it in the summertime, but not near as much as I do in the wintertime.
Yeah. But,
so.
I mean, my favorite way to eat a tomato sandwich, big old thick slice of like an heirloom style tomato. Like I like the Brandywine tomatoes for eating tomatoes, but I'll get a big old thick slice of that, about as thick as the tomato or about as thick as the bread is.
Yeah.
And then put a huge slab of mayonnaise on that, a little salt and pepper. And it needs to be so juicy that when you're eating it, it's like
running down your face,
dripping down your off your chin, running down your elbows.
I like mine like that too, but I always add a slice of cheese, like cheddar cheese. I don't know why I like cheese on my tomato sandwiches.
I don't like it like that yet. Maybe I will at some point. Yeah.
Well,
I
do.
I just don't
nothing
like
else.
It.
Just adding the cheese, but cheese, mayonnaise, tomato, mustard. Wow, no mustard. I've never tried mustard. I don't know
it
why
might
I said
be good.
That. Maybe that's my sign to try it. I've never tried mustard on it. Don't plan to. But yeah, I was going to say salt and pepper, and that's it.
One thing that we do a lot with the grill, I love to grill. I'm not like a grill master, but boy, I sure do love to grill. With that pellet grill, it makes it so nice and easy. But I'll grill. We'll get skewers, and we'll get like some grilled chicken or steak or something, and you know, we'll cook it up and then we'll add the skewers to it, squash and zucchini and onions and peppers and all kinds of stuff. And man, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh off the grill.
Yes.
There's a lot of times that we'll eat that and then we'll kind of block the chickens off of the porch and sit on like our little outside dining room table area.
We tried to eat it without blocking the chickens off and they decided to join us and we're also trying to eat our dinner. So that's all, we have to block them off.
Yeah.
Because they will just join us and peck our plates.
Yep. Especially, I don't want to try it this year. Not with the rooster. I ain't scared of him, but I got a respect for him.
Yeah. He doesn't bother me.
Yeah, he don't like me for some reason.
Yeah.
But that's a discussion for a later
time.
So,
yeah. And then fall
you
cooking.
You forgot the most important thing.
What?
Oh. We got to do them refrigerator pickles.
Oh, yes. That is a favorite. We eat a lot of refrigerator pickles through the summertime. I like them because you don't have to can them. Like, you don't have to process them. They'll last a good 3 to 5 months, sometimes even 6.
Yeah.
In the refrigerator, obviously, they don't typically sit there that long unless I make them, like, after the fact.
I don't know, man. They're just, like, I mean, I like canned pickles, don't get me wrong. But, like, I don't think you can can a pickle and it just have that, like, crunch that a refrigerator pickle has.
Yes.
I mean, a refrigerator pickle, it's like, it's just like eating a fresh sliced cucumber, but it's
pickle flavored.
And oh my God. And the pickling is like so fresh and tangy. Oh, I love me some refrigerator pickles.
Mm-hmm. They're good.
I like them. I like the big old spears. I like them sliced.
We eat those a lot. Because when you grill burgers, like the fresh beef, we do grill burgers quite a bit in the summertime and have fresh pickles on the side.
Yep. Can't I don't know. Sometimes we get carried away and we got them little, like, the pickled chips on the burger, and then we'll have a couple spears on the side.
Yes. We love pickles.
I mean, sometimes we'll walk in there and we'll be trying to figure out what we're going to eat, and we're like, let's try some pickles, and then there's half a jar gone.
Yeah. They just make a really good snack, especially on a hot day.
Oh, yeah.
We also like to make, not make, but eat a lot of watermelon and cantaloupe in the summertime. And you like to make. It's like a watermelon. What do you do? Like, it's a drink. It's like a smoothie, but it's so good.
Well, it's not a smoothie. So a smoothie, in my opinion, would be thicker. This is kind of just like a juice, just with the pulp in it.
Yeah.
It's mainly strawberries and watermelon. And then I'll add like some blueberries here and there, a cantaloupe occasionally. But I just put it in our big old Ninja blender. But it just has to have a lot of water content to it, whatever fruit you're putting into it. Or it gets really thick. One thing that I like to do that I did last year was I got some of the V8 juice.
Mm-hmm. Or like the...
Not the tomato one,
just the fruit juice. Mm-hmm. That's like mixed fruit or whatever. It's in a purple container. But I took that and I kind of added like probably a cup and a half of that as like a juice base. And then added the rest of the fruits in there. That stuff is... It's so refreshing because like you can be outside sweating so hard and then come inside and drink some of that. And it's just like you feel so refreshed.
Yeah. Like I feel like sometimes like in the wintertime when it's so cold, I kind of forget just how hot and humid it is here. So like, I don't know, just thinking about some of those things made me remember. And it's just so refreshing.
Yeah, I think one of my like most refreshing things other than that fruit drink that I make in the summertime is when we come inside, and we're Southern, obviously, so, like, we love the sweet tea. I got my secret family passed down sweet tea recipe.
Oh, my.
So, we got a, you know, big old glass of sweet tea and some refrigerator pickles on the side, and that sweet and savory on, ooh, I love that in the summertime.
Yes.
But
all right, I guess on to the fall now.
Yeah, we like summertime.
I guess the fall... it's still some salads because obviously, you know, doing a fall harvest of lettuce. But then my favorite fall salad is like it has apple slices in it. I'm gonna share this one's recipe later. But it has apple slices, obviously lettuce, some red onion, and a few other ingredients, but it's just like a really good fall salad. Kind of gets you in the fall mood, I guess. And then I feel like we're starting to pick back up with the colder weather, with some of the soups. We eat a lot of potato soup in the fall, I feel like. And then obviously I do a lot of seasonal baking, like apple pie, pumpkin cake. I love to do seasonal baking in the fall. It's my favorite time to bake. I also love to make pumpkin chocolate chip cookies. Those are one of my favorite things.
Yep. I like the, my mom really likes the pumpkin muffins, like the gluten-free pumpkin muffins that you make.
Yes.
Them suckers are good. But,
cream cheese icing.
I think that's my favorite thing about the fall. Like, I hate the fact that, like, all the fresh garden veggies are going away, but they kind of, like, slowly dwindle away because we, like, preserve so much of it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel like it just all of a sudden just goes away.
Yeah.
So, but, like, my favorite thing about the fall by far has to be like the sweet, like the pies and like the pumpkin pie. Oh, pumpkin pie is my favorite.
Yes.
Now, the best pumpkin pie, like my favorite hands down, was always my grandma's pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's been able to cook one like that until this past year. So my mom's tried. She's gotten very close. She makes good pumpkin pie, don't get me wrong, but I'm very particular about my pumpkin pie.
I know.
Very particular. But the closest that I've gotten this year was whenever you made your sourdough crust for it, which was so like light and flaky. And then your mom made her pumpkin pie filling. Those two combinations is probably the best pumpkin pie that I've had since my grandma.
Well, that's good to know.
Yep. I don't know. The apple pie that you made this year, that sucker was good too.
Well, those was from fresh apples that we preserved from the orchard. So
yep.
I was very excited about that. And I took a lot of pride in that apple pie.
Yeah, you did. That took a lot of work though.
It did. Cause I had to make the crust and all that. So yeah, it was fun, but it was definitely worth it. Everybody said that was like one of the best crusts that ever had. So, yep.
And then you made it into a pumpkin pie and I was happy.
Yes. So that's our kind of favorite seasonal eatings, for each season.
I guess one thing that I kind of forget about in the summertime, like I grill a bunch, but I guess when the fall starts coming around, I feel like I start switching over to like smoking stuff.
Yeah.
Like I smoke a bunch of hams, I'll smoke turkeys or like,
oh butter. Yes. Oh yeah. That turkey you smoked this year was the best like turkey I've ever had. It was just a breast, but it was so juicy.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good.
That was my secret recipe.
Yes. No,
it was what I just did like a apple butter glaze. So like I used an apple wood whenever I smoked it.
Mm-hmm.
Smoked it low and slow, like 200 degrees, you know, low and slow for a couple hours. And then on once it was actually like, I think it was four hours in or so, I covered it up with butcher paper.
Yes.
Wrapped it up so that way all the humidity and everything stayed in there. Then I lathered it up with some apple butter and then fully wrapped it up. And then I let it continue to cook until the internal temperature was right and everything. And boy, that was some good stuff right there.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have leftover. It was gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did the same thing with that pork butt that I smoked for our church dinner. It was a 8.5-pound pork butt. And there was nothing left. There wasn't even like a sliver to bring home.
No.
And we don't have a huge church.
Yeah.
And there was other meats. And those people had to take meat home.
Yes. It was definitely really good.
So, yeah, I guess in the once it starts getting cold, I feel like I start to smoke more meats than I do in the summertime.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's nicer to stand beside a nice grill whenever you're smoking stuff when it's cold outside versus in the summertime when it's hot.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, so that's our, I guess, official end to the seasonal.
Yeah, that's our like favorite things that we cook throughout the seasons. But then like one thing with us homesteading that I've really enjoyed is we don't like when we first started, we still bought a lot of the stuff from the store.
Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like every year that we homestead, we start knocking more and more stuff off the list that we have to buy from the store.
Yes. So, as of right now, the foods we no longer buy from the store are, like, jams and jellies. We make our own peach, strawberry, apple butter, muscadine, and our favorite blackberry. And then of course the ones we talked about earlier that I made, the wild violet and the dandelion. We also don't buy our honey from the store either. We get it locally from a friend. We trade eggs for honey usually. She just lives about 5 minutes down the road from us and has her own hives.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't.
And
also,
it's so good too, because it's not, I feel like a lot of times whenever you buy honey from the store, it's either that, like, I think it usually says like clover honey or sourwood honey or whatever, but this is just like whatever the bees pollinate around. So like it's just kind of like a mix, and it just has such a good like flavor. It's super sweet, but has like a little tanginess to it. Mm-hmm. I really like it.
Yeah. So yeah, we don't buy any of that from the store anymore. We haven't done that for a long time.
Yeah.
And then we haven't, as of this year, my goal last year was to bake more bread. This year, my goal is to bake all of our bread and not buy any from the store. And so far, I have kept that bargain. We're almost, partly through. I kind of started it in December.
Yeah.
But,
At the time that we're recording this podcast, I mean, you're almost 3 months in and we have not bought any bread.
Yeah. And that is like sandwich loaves, that's like, I mean, sweets like cinnamon rolls, that's like bagels, that's English muffins,
dinner rolls.
Yeah, and that's like any bread, not just like sandwich bread, like that's all
and
bread.
As the summer comes up and we start, you know, gearing up for like burgers and stuff, you'll be cooking or baking, sorry, like all the hamburger buns and stuff.
Yeah, I try new things. Like, I try to do a new bread type thing every month. I did tortillas a couple weeks ago, and they were really good.
Yeah, those were good.
The homemade enchiladas with that. I need to make that again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, I mean, obviously, we said earlier, like, you know, you made the pie crust and everything last fall, so we know you can make pie crust, too, so we won't have to deal with any of that either.
Yep. So, and then another thing we haven't bought any more of is tomato sauce, which is also basically tomato products, because
we're coming up on a year of no tomato products. I mean, once it hits what, like June?
Well, July, we also canned tomato sauce the year before, so we're kind of over a year at this point.
Yeah, I would say we probably bought maybe like a can or two.
Yeah, because we didn't do a ton.
Yeah.
But yeah, tomato sauce, like pizza sauce, soup, like we haven't had to buy any of that.
Yeah.
All of it's been what we canned.
I would say the longest thing that, like, we kind of crossed off the list first when we started homesteading, other than, like, James and Jelly's excluded, because your family's done that for a long time.
Yes.
But eggs, I mean, ever since we have started dating, pretty much, and we went and got our 10 Isa Browns, we've not bought eggs since then.
Well, since they started laying, yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's been our longest for us. That's been our longest thing.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I think I said it in one of the other podcasts, but, like, my sister, she hates store-bought eggs now. Like, she calls them, like, the fake eggs.
But, yeah, that's our longest thing. And then we already touched on it a little bit, but garlic. Garlic is something we haven't bought in a good while. Fresh herbs. Not all fresh herbs. Because some things, like cilantro, we'll have it for a little bit of the season, like usually the very beginning of summer, and then it usually bolts, and then we end up having to buy it later on when I'm trying to make, like, guacamole or something.
Yeah.
But we still, like, some of our herbs, like thyme and sage, like, we still get off of even in the dead of winter.
Mm-hmm.
And
them little warm spells that we get because of our weird climate, they kind of, like, start to grow a little bit.
Yeah, and then, we also dry a lot of our herbs. Like, we dried a lot of basil, oregano.
A lot of oregano.
Yeah, some mint, and some other things. So,
and sage, too.
Yes. I don't as much focus on the sage and the thyme because I know I can get it through the winter.
We don't really use sage, though. I mean, we use it some, but it's not like our number one herb.
I use it a lot in that butternut squash pasta.
Yeah.
I use it a lot in that and thyme. Also on the fingerling potatoes.
That's true. Mm, boy, I love them. That's a recipe for another time.
Yeah. And then, of course, green beans. We already talked about that. We canned a lot of green beans this year, so we eat those a lot. We haven't had to buy those since the beginning of summer, which I grew up, you know, canning green beans. So that's been kind of something I've been accustomed to for a very long time, too.
Peppers is something that, like, is pretty easy. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't realize how easy peppers are to preserve because, like, you can literally just freeze a whole pepper.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to cut it up or anything.
No. Yeah, I like to freeze my peppers because I cook a lot of peppers in order to season things, I feel like. But also, like, I do like to, like, slice up or dice up or both bell peppers so I can use them in stir fries and whatnot. And then, like I think I already mentioned, I put, like, the halved jalapenos or whole jalapenos in the freezer for certain things.
Your mom does one of my favorite things that she does in, like, her spaghetti sauces is she does, like, it's not really, like, minced. It's a little bit bigger than minced, like, green peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know, it's not like you don't really taste it, but it's just that
flavor.
It's that little bit of added flavor to it that just really, like, brings a really good flavor to it.
Yeah. And then I also have a lot of poblano peppers in there to make stuffed peppers with, in the freezer. Also, we also freeze a lot of squash and zucchini. I love to, kind of saute, chunked up squash and zucchini, with some onions and butter in a pan and then let them cool and then put them in freezer bags. And that way, when I want to make my squash casserole that we love, I can just pull it out and put it in, the mix with the other ingredients, which is like some mayonnaise and sour cream, I think, and then some shredded cheddar cheese. And then all I have to do is just pop it in the oven and bake it. I don't have to worry about cutting anything up or anything.
Yeah. It takes the prep work out of it.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things I'm the most excited about this season is the fact that hopefully we'll be able to preserve as much, like, you can't really preserve milk, but, like, we'll have milk products to be able to preserve, you know, cheeses and stuff like that.
Right. Well, that'll be on our list of when we no longer have to buy, hopefully.
Yeah.
We won't have to buy milk to drink. We won't have to buy butter. We won't have to buy cream. We won't have to buy cheese. We won't have to buy buttermilk.
Yep.
I don't know, whatever else we can.
Whatever comes with raw milk, We don't have to buy anymore.
Right. That I'm very excited to do that soon. But yeah, that's another topic kind of, but
yeah. It's probably another podcast episode, but
so yeah.
Well, I guess if you have stuck around for this long, then you have officially made it to the our favorite recipes section of the podcast.
Yes. And I feel like we've already mentioned a lot of these, but like we're going to kind of go into more detail of how we make it.
Yeah.
So the first thing is our refrigerator pickles that we love to make, which if you follow along on our Instagram, I've posted the recipe for that in Reels and in my stories several times. I think it's like I always have to make the reel.
Yeah, usually at the beginning of the summer, I feel like.
I always make a reel of how to make them. But basically, the good thing about these is because you're not processing them, you can make as little or as much as you want to make it once. Like, I think when our pickles first, I just think of them as big pickles. Like, I don't even think of them as cucumbers. When our cucumbers first start producing, like, I'm so ready to have pickles. I'll just bring like the very first one in and I'll literally just put it in one jar and make enough for one jar of pickles.
Yeah, it's not hard at all.
But then also like in the heat of it, when I have like 12 cucumbers, I'll make a huge batch of them and, you know, take them to family and whatnot. But basically it's just however many pickles you have, depending on how big they are. I feel like usually for us, one and a half pickles or so fits in like one pint jar.
Yeah, usually close to that.
And then depending on how I'm usually, if I spear them, usually one.
Yeah, the spears kind of take up more space than the chips. You can jam more chips.
Yeah, you kind of have to experiment with it depending on the size of your cucumber. And then
not pickled yet.
It's white distilled vinegar, the 5%. I don't really have a straightforward recipe just because I don't ever know how much I'm making at once.
Right.
But usually you could probably pour it into the jar or jars that you're making, and then that would be how much you would use.
Yeah.
And then a couple garlic cloves, some... Usually I do 3 teaspoons of black peppercorns, and I bring all those to a bowl and some salt and sugar. And then once that's brought to a bowl, I pour it over the jars of diced or sliced cucumbers.
Yep.
And then let it cool, put the lid on, and stick it in the refrigerator.
You forgot the dill.
Oh, yes. Fresh dill. Yeah, after it cools. Because if you put it in there while it's hot, it'll wilt.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't taste as good.
Right. Fresh dill sprigs.
Absolutely do not hover over the boiling vinegar mixture because it burns if you breathe it in.
It does. It's quite funny. But yeah, that's a favorite.
I feel like whenever people hear like pickles, they immediately think of like a pressure canner, like a water bath canner.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do the refrigerator pickles, I mean, I'm no genius and I've not canned a whole bunch of stuff, but like I would feel comfortable like if you told me like, hey, I have to work today or I have to do this or whatever today and I can't do it, but these pickles, like these cucumbers need to be done, go make the pickles, like I could probably do it.
Yeah, it's not hard at all. Because you're not cooking them. The only thing you're just bringing to a bowl the vinegar and stuff,
right,
and then you're pouring it into, using a funnel, and then you're pouring it into your jars over your sliced cucumbers. So, yeah.
If you can make mac and cheese, you can probably make these.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they're super easy, super good, and definitely a really good summer snack.
I think the hardest part about them is letting them cool down enough to before you eat them.
Yes, definitely.
So, I guess butternut squash pasta.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be, like, hard to, like put a straight-up recipe on here for, but...
I mean, any of the recipes that we're talking about in this last segment, we'll put up in, like... We'll probably put it up on our Instagram.
Yeah,
a link to it.
We'll I'll have it in our stories, in our saved story highlights for recipes. Mm-hmm. But the butternut squash pasta is basically, I love the honey nut butternut squash. That's the ones I usually grow. So for us, it's usually two of those honey nut butternut squashes. That's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
Peeled and cubed. And then spread out on a pan with some olive oil drizzled over. And then sprinkled with some fresh thyme, sage, salt, pepper. And then on the side of that, I have a fresh garlic clove with the top cut off of it. It's with some olive oil, salt, and pepper over top of it. And then I enclose it into like a little aluminum foil thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always do some fresh prosciutto over top of the butternut squash diced up. And then I usually bake that or air fry it, whatever.
It's in an air fryer, but that air fryer has like 12 different settings.
Yeah, well.
So it's the baking setting.
At like 350, 375 for like 20 minutes until the prosciutto is crispy and until the butternut squash is like tender and I can stab it with a fork or mash it easily.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take it out and take the prosciutto off and put it on a separate plate. And then I put the butternut squash in my little blender and then I squeeze the garlic out of the whole shell because it's like super soft. And then I put some ricotta cheese in there and then I blend that all up together. And basically that's your sauce. You put it after you've blended it all up and it's like smooth, you put it in your pan and then add some of your pasta water from boiling your pasta to make it a little bit thinner, as thin as you like, basically. And then once that's done, you can add some cheese. I usually like to add some shredded smoked Gouda, and then some Parmesan. And then let that get all melty and then add your pasta, your cooked pasta.
Yeah, specifically that Gouda. We don't do like thick flaked shreds. It's like the microplane is what it's called. That like little handheld shredder makes a big difference when you do that microplane, and it's those super like fine shreds.
Yeah. Yep. So that's definitely a fall favorite, winter favorite. It's just a really good recipe and it's pretty healthy, I feel like, because it's not like a lot of cheese. It's just some cheese, but it's your base is your squash. So
the butternut squash is healthy in itself, just like we were talking about the spaghetti squash earlier.
I wonder if you made that sauce out of the butternut squash and then instead of using noodles you used spaghetti squash. Squash on squash.
I don't know.
Anyways, so then another favorite is
the tomato soup. That's probably one of my favorite of the soups that you make is the tomato soup, because it's so like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's not like, it's kind of like a tomato bisque, but it's a little bit more thin than a tomato bisque, almost like the consistency of a tomato soup. But a tomato soup to me, like, just tastes so like watery, and like it's got that kind of like ketchup-y tomato taste to it.
Mm.
Whereas this just has that good tomato bisque with like the cream, the basil comes through, oregano, like it's just a really good soup.
Yeah, and it's just canned tomatoes.
Pretty
basically
much.
Like, yeah. I don't really know how, it's not really a recipe because, I mean, I guess it is, but it's just,
it's just your canning recipe.
My canned tomato sauce, which is the ball canning recipe. And usually, depending on how thick it is, I will thin it out with some water, usually, mm-hmm. to make it a little thinner and less acidic. And then, I always bring it to a bowl and add my fresh or dried herbs, which is the basil and oregano. And then, once that's cooked and brought to a bowl, then I always add cream, which I usually will temper by adding a little bit of, like I'll pour my cream into like a separate container, and then I'll add like a spoonful of the soup at a time, the hot soup, and stir it quickly until the cream gets to be closer to the temperature of the soup before I pour the whole thing in. If you just pour straight cold cream into
it
soup,
curdles.
It curdles. We learned that the hard way.
Yep.
So anyway, so that's pretty simple.
And usually to go along with the tomato soup, what you normally do is make a grilled cheese, but you've been making it recently with, because we're not buying bread, you've been making it with a sourdough, like a bread loaf.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is it good, because we're cheesy people. We like...
Yes, we love cheese.
We love cheese, so we go and get like the nice cheese, like the Gouda, and like, I don't know. We just get all the good cheeses, and then usually we sprinkle like that fine grated microplane cheese on top of it too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good grilled cheese, like a super good grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Well, tell them about your favorite recipe, and then I'll tell them about my favorite recipe.
So, back to the salad. I kind of told y'all a little bit about it earlier, the apple salad, but basically it's just whatever lettuce or greens I have on hand. So mostly it's just mixed lettuce with some spinach, probably romaine, merlot, whatever we have really. And then I do some thinly sliced apples, some thinly sliced red onion, and then we top that with some chopped pecans, and then some dried cranberries, and then goat cheese crumbles on top. And then the last thing I put on it is homemade vinaigrette that I make out of it's some balsamic vinegar mixed with some olive oil. I don't know how much. I'll have to look at my recipe. I have it saved, but
well, is this recipe on your Instagram yet?
No, I'll need to add it, but
by the time this comes out, it'll probably be on there.
Yeah, so it's and then it's got some honey, some Dijon mustard, salt, pepper, and a garlic clove or two minced, all mixed together. And then that's the vinaigrette that I drizzle on top of that salad, and it is so good. Like, I went through a phase last spring when I literally probably ate that every day, sometimes twice a day. It was so good. It is so good.
You went through a phase about 3 weeks ago where you boxed up, you pre-made like...
Oh, like six jars of them.
Yeah.
Yes. I like to make those in advance. Like, I do the salad in a jar where you put in like the vinaigrette first, and then you put in the stuff that doesn't really get soggy, and you kind of build it, and then you put like the lettuce on the very top as your last thing. And then when you go to dump it out, it's like just how it should be, like just how you'd have made it. Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to make it. It's like not super sensitive, but you just have to make it basically with everything and then your lettuce on top, so
yes,
it doesn't wilt.
Right. But yeah, that's a really good salad, and I highly recommend it.
If you make it for me, you just make it
without pecans.
Right.
Yeah.
No pecans for Roman. Pecans and Roman don't equal life.
Yeah.
So my favorite thing, and we'll try to have this out on the Instagram by the time that this podcast launches, but if not, it will be coming at the beginning of summer, is skewers. Like, it's super duper simple, but it's one of my favorite things because it's like the whole essence of summer to me. Like, you get your skewer, and typically what we do is we'll just get whatever we're going to have on there minus the meat, and we'll just go ahead and like do the prep work. So usually it's squash and zucchini, and we'll go ahead and dice those up in like quarter size, maybe a little bit bigger dices.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do like, usually it's a red onion or a white onion. We don't typically do the yellow onions.
Yeah.
But we'll do either a red onion or a white onion, sometimes both. And we will, so those ones you have to be a little bit more particular about, because you have to cut them in a way that they don't fall apart on the skewer, because if not, you'll lose them in the grill, and then the grill eats them, and then they burn. So you have to be a little particular about the way you cut the onions up. And then we'll do bell peppers in the summertime. And I think this summer we should try and do like little slices of jalapeno, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of slices of jalapeno throughout the skewer.
Yes.
But basically you just kind of slice everything up to like equal sizes, because if it's not equal size, then some parts will be done and other parts won't. So when it comes to the meat, there's two different ways you can go about it. We like either chicken or steak. So if you're doing steak, I highly recommend pre-cook the steak to where it's like 10 or 15 degrees from being finished, and then skewer it and then put it back on the grill, so that way it comes up to the right temp and it's not overcooked.
Yeah.
Chicken, a lot of times you can cut it small enough to where once it's put on the grill, it'll cook to the same temperature as everything else.
Yeah.
But you can also pre-cook the chicken, but overcooked chicken is so bad. So that's why typically I think we just skewer it, cut up. But usually I just put the grill on about 375 to 400. And then depending on what kind of grill you have, I have a pellet grill. So I have a sear plate that I can open or close. I prefer like an indirect method of cooking, because if you open the sear plate and the flames start getting to that, like then peppers and onions are going to get charcoaled.
Yeah.
Before the chicken's finished. So I typically do an indirect heat grill on it to where, you know, you still get the good grill marks and everything. And I just grill it until, you know, the biggest piece of chicken hits that 165 mark. And then I'm pulling it off immediately. And then usually we just scald our mouths until it starts cooling off enough to eat. We can't help ourselves. But usually, I mean, we'll eat six skewers a piece or so in the summertime. And that's just, I don't know, that's like my favorite summertime meal, because it's just like the whole essence of summer. And a lot of times we'll take and slice a tomato on the side,
mm-hmm.
to have just like salt and pepper tomato on the side. And then obviously Southern, so we have our sweet tea on the side.
So, yes.
But yeah, that's my favorite recipe, which it might be a little bit before it gets up on the Instagram, but I love a good summertime skewer.
Yep, it's pretty straightforward, so I feel like you don't really necessarily need a recipe.
No, you don't need a recipe. You basically just pick the meat that you want.
And put the veggies on there that you like.
Put the veggies that you want. Now, if you're really particular about it, you can be like, all right, I got a squash on there, now I have a zucchini on there, then I've got an onion, then a chicken, then a squash and zucchini and onion and chicken and squash and zucchini and onion. But it doesn't really matter. You just stick it all on there, cook it up real good.
I feel like we usually have those with grilled corn.
Yeah, we do grilled corn a lot, and the secret to grilled corn is keep it in the husk.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it in the husk, keep it off the heat, like as in not like directly on the heat. Keep it, like I said, you know, sear plate closed, so that way it's not like frying up, and just leave them bad boys on there. I rotate them about 10 minutes, flip them 180 degrees until you can pick that corn husk up and kind of squish the corn. You don't want it like squishy, but you don't want it firm, just to where it starts to give a little bit. And then when you pull them husk off, oh my gosh, it steams that corn so sweet. And then we just take and put a little bit of butter on it, salt and pepper. Mm, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of my favorite summertime meals right there.
Yep.
But we went a little long on this one.
I kind of was expecting to go shorter, but I guess we like to talk about food.
Yeah, we do like food. Well, it would have been short if we wouldn't have added all the recipe stuff, but
yeah,
we had to let people know our favorite recipes. So hopefully y'all got something out of this, and
it's not just us talking about food.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully this episode made you getting hungry. So we'll see y'all guys in the next episode. And hopefully everybody has a good rest of their day if they're listening to it in the morning.